Hello, and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks Podcast. This is Rod Stuckey here with me, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, thanks. Excited about jumping into today's podcast, where we're going to cover some interesting posts from our T3 Facebook group, including values of used Teslas after this tax credit, which is about to go away, the lifespan of a Tesla and its batteries, a dryer plug splitter for home charging, cracked rims, and more. But first, for those who may be unfamiliar, Tori, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
We're the largest Tesla tips community in the world with over 283,000 members. And our community provides real-world tips and tricks that maximize the ownership experience for a Tesla for current owners and also prospective owners. So if you haven't joined our Facebook group, be sure that you do so. You can just do a search for Tesla Tips and Tricks, and you'll find the group with 283,000 plus members. And as we're going through this content here, be sure that you go in and find it within the group and comment on it. Also, we're releasing our best tips content on our YouTube channel. So if you haven't already subscribed, please visit youtube.com/@Tesla Tips and Tricks. And that link is displayed on the screen here, or for those who are watching or listening to this, in the description, you'll have a link to our YouTube channel there and our Facebook group as well.
Awesome. So let's jump right in to some of the more interesting posts from the last week or so. And coming in at number five, and this is a topic near and dear to my heart. Do you think used Tesla prices will go up or down after September 30th? And Tori, if you would, for our listeners, please describe what's happening on September 30th before we jump into what our thoughts are and what some of the comments are on the values coming up here on the September 30th deadline.
Yeah, so Uncle Sam has been paying for new Tesla purchases for those who make less than $300,000 a year and a couple of other stipulations. They've been paying $7,500 tax credit towards the purchase of a new electric vehicle, including Teslas. And for used Teslas, there's certain restrictions that, like, income has to be $150,000 family or less. But for used Teslas, it's a $4,000 tax credit. So essentially, you buy a car for, and the price has to be less than $25,000. But if you bought a car for $24,000, Uncle Sam puts $4,000 towards the purchase. You only pay $20,000 for it. So it's been a really big deal and provided a lot of value to Tesla purchases. So that is going away on September 30th. It is official. And what we see in the comments to this post is really just a pretty good mix of people saying it's going to go up and people saying they're going to go down. So when I look at this, I really can see both ways here. I could see it going up because I've noticed that this $4,000 tax credit has driven down the value of cars that are between the value of $25,000 and call it $35,000. So, for instance, we'll just go with the $29,000 car. Before the tax credit, this $29,000 car was $29,000. No big deal. That's just what it is. Well, now people have been looking for cars that are less than $25,000 so that they can get this $4,000 tax credit. And that's driven that price barrier down. So the cars that are worth $28,000, $29,000 have been impacted. And now really having to sell for $25,000 so that somebody can buy the tax credit, or a dealer or individual will just sit on it because people aren't buying cars from $25,000 to $30,000. Now, if it's more than $30,000, people aren't even considering the tax credit. And so it's not been that big of an issue, but somebody looking for the tax credit is looking for that $28,000 car they can get for $24,000 or $25,000 plus add the $4,000 tax credit to it. So I could see the values going up because that's going away. And I can also see values going up because the $7,500 tax credit on new is going away. So now instead of buying new and getting $7,500 down payment courtesy of Uncle Sam, Now I'm going to be looking at used vehicles. Therefore, demand goes up on used and price follows supply and demand. If demand goes high, then price typically goes up as well. On the flip side, on the other hand, I can see values going down because these tax credits could also lower the demand for used vehicles. So if demand goes down and supply remains the same or goes up with people selling their Teslas, price is going to go down. So nobody has a crystal ball here to know what's going to happen. I typically am leaning more towards they're going to go up from what they currently are for the reasons that I just mentioned, but there's no way to know for sure. What are your thoughts on this, Rod?
So my thoughts are, and I believe that used Tesla values will go up, and not like immediately overnight on October 1st, but I do think that over time, and I want to go back through a little bit of a history lesson, and we've covered this on the pod before, but it's really fascinating. If you go all the way back to COVID, there was a huge demand for used Teslas, and it drove the prices through the roof. So people were paying a lot of money for used Teslas. And then after COVID, there was a huge lull in demand. And so Elon went and lowered prices on brand new Teslas. Well, lowering prices on brand new Teslas has a trickle down effect.
Yes.
And it killed the value of used. Now, in particular, all these people that had paid a premium during COVID got hit very hard because they had already paid a premium for their used Tesla. Now they have really, really taken a hit from Elon lowering the prices on new Teslas, impacting used values. Then Hertz, who bought a bazillion Teslas for used fleets, decides that, hey, EVs are not the greatest rental vehicles. You know, we're going to push all these used Hertz, and they're still doing it to some extent. That really, really hurt the used Tesla prices, really hurt it. Then the administration came out with arguably a mandate by the year 2030, 2032. Some people say don't call it mandate, whatever. They were saying, all you legacy manufacturers, you're going to have to make EVs, which they all started to do. So there was a ton of EVs that were coming in the market. There were non-Tesla EVs. All of this created this perfect storm and really began to drive down the prices on used Teslas. And so I think that where we're at, Tori, I think that the market is slowly, and this is why I say it's not happening overnight, we're slowly starting to recover from all of that. It's not huge, but here's what the tax credits did. There were a lot of used dealers out there that were doing a semi-unethical business practice, because what happened at the first of 2024, dealers were allowed to reduce the tax credit on used at the point of sale, meaning you didn't have to wait till your tax return. So what dealers were doing is they were taking a Tesla that they were going to sell for $25,000 and they were listing it for $21,000 when the real value was $25,000. And they were going ahead and deducting the tax credit in their advertising. Again, not an ethical thing to do, but I mean, Tori, we saw it everywhere, all over Facebook Marketplace like crazy. So there's all these computer software programs out there that go and crawl the web and aggregate the listing price data from websites and marketplace to determine fair market values. So there was a ton of used Teslas out there that were being listed for $4,000 less than they were really being sold for, which really drove the prices down on used. And so I'm happy to see, this is why, you know, I'm for the free market, because what happens when the government starts meddling in the business of the free market? It's chaos, exactly. So the used Tesla market has been absolute chaos because the values have had all of these impacts that weren't principle-based on supply and demand, as you were simply stating, which it should be supply and demand. But now we've got all these other variables in play with the tax credit. So as someone, you know, we've been in the business of buying and selling used Teslas for a long time, but you know, and we've used it to our advantage. I mean, it's in some ways helped our business, but I'm happy to see them go away, and I'm ready to go back to principle-based values and see this thing shake out so that by the spring of 26, we've got real values again and not values that are tainted by factors that aren't within people's control.
Yeah. It's so funny to think of, you know, 2.5 years ago, you could buy a brand new Tesla and then sell it used for more than you bought it for. And, you know, man, did we go to the complete opposite of that over the past year. But you're right. All of those things led to this chaotic market and devaluation of used Teslas. So it'll be good to see that get more consistent, if nothing else, even if it doesn't impact the values in a huge manner. I hope it does increase used Teslas, but even if it doesn't increase them greatly, at least we can get consistent and get back to the normal.
And maybe that's a good way to sum this up, Tori, is a stabilization of the market as opposed to this extreme volatility, which has just been bonkers, is stabilizing the market, I think, will be the outcome of this rather than a wild roller coaster that we have been on here for the past 3 years.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So moving on, another topic that we love to talk about, curious about the lifespan of a Tesla, age, kilometers, mileage. Please share your experience.
Yeah, this is something that we've covered a few times, and it's always good to revisit this because there is a misunderstanding and a lot of misinformation out there about Teslas. Like, for instance, they all catch on fire when they're, you know, 6,000% less likely to catch fire than a gasoline vehicle, a nice vehicle. But this is another misunderstanding of, well, they don't last a long time, the batteries die and you have to replace them. So Peter's asking a great question here, and just going through some of the comments, I'll hit some of the high points here just because he's asking people to share. Gavin says, my 2021 Model 3 has about 160,000 miles on it and is fine. So that's a roughly 4-year-old vehicle. So that's good miles. I mean, you're putting 40,000 miles on it a year. So Gavin drives a lot, has no problems. Andrea, 2016, 70,000 miles. That's low mileage. So let's see here. A 2022 with 90,000 miles, 83% battery retention. A 2015 with 175,000 miles.
2014, 170,000 miles going strong.
Yeah, 170,000 miles. And I think that was the biggest one. Wasn't there one, though? Yeah, here it is. 21 Model 3, 200,000 miles. This is by Craig. And Craig, man, congratulations. Way to go. 200,000 miles.
10 years from Nira Sharma, 10 plus years, 200 plus thousand miles.
Yeah. So let's talk about how Teslas are designed to work and how long they're designed to last. Well, the drivetrain and the motors and the driveline is designed to last 1 million miles. That's what Musk has said. It's what Tesla engineers have said. So definitely designed to outlast most other vehicles on the road. And the batteries are designed to last. There's no mileage that they're designed to last. It's charge cycles. So when you think of a battery, it stores power. It doesn't store mileage, doesn't store range. It stores energy. And these batteries are designed to last up to 1,500 or more charge cycles. So one charge cycle would be charging from 0% to 100%. Now, we never charge that way. We charge from 30% to 70%. And that 40% charge, that's 0.4 of one charge cycle, or 40% of one charge cycle. So when you add all of those charge cycles up, you've got 1,500 plus. Man, you're talking about serious mileage. So we were doing some math on this earlier. You know, some cars today are getting 300 miles range. Older cars get, 190, 200 maybe. So even if we take that 200 actual miles, by the way, because we're talking about real mileage, not just range miles, but actual miles. If you're getting 200 miles out of a charge, 1500 charge cycles gets you over 300,000 miles, right? 200 times 1500 charge cycles, 300,000 miles. So if you're getting more than 200 miles per charge, then you're going to get more than 300,000 miles out of your battery. So big misunderstanding where people think that when these cars get 5 years old, that with 100,000 miles on it, that, oh, the battery's going to need to be replaced. And that's not necessarily true. In fact, there's some other comments. I don't see it right here, but where people are still on their original batteries with 150, 170,000 miles, 200,000 miles. So one comment here, Rod, that I wanted to end with is somebody said that they had heard that less than 1% of Teslas, here it is by Gene Powell, I believe that less than 1% of all Teslas made have ever had to have their HV battery replaced. I did some research on this and I found that it's probably more like 2.5%, but still 98.5% of, 97.5% of Teslas have not had their HV battery replaced. So it's pretty outstanding. And these HV batteries just don't often go bad.
Yeah. And I was going to mention Chris Bull's comment here, 2015 S with 175,000 miles battery replaced under warranty in 2021. Got about 285 highway miles, no plans on replacing her. And what's interesting, Tori, that you and I, obviously we've engaged with, thousands and thousands of Tesla owners, and we've looked seriously into a lot of the best practices with remanufacturing batteries. But what we found is we can't find batteries to remanufacture in the Tesla owners whose HV batteries have gone bad typically happen as a manufacturer's defect under warranty during the beginning phases. We're not seeing many batteries go bad from mileage and just being worn out. They seem to be replaced under warranty from time to time because of a manufacturer's defect. And I do like to put this into context and compare it to an ICE vehicle. Tori, you and I both are gearheads. We've had a lot of ICE vehicles. You're a drag racer. I've driven ICE vehicles all over the country doing all kind of crazy things and racing dirt bikes. And when you and I were young, you kind of knew you're going to get 100,000 miles out of your engine before you were going to need to rebuild it, And that's probably a lot more than that now. Double it to 200,000 miles. But with an ICE vehicle, there are a lot more components that need maintenance and can go bad. And so I wanted to restate what you said, and I'm going to up it to, the 1500 charge cycles. If you're getting 250 miles of range on a newer Tesla, that's 375,000 miles before a major repair like an engine or a transmission in an ICE vehicle. I don't think you're going to find many ICE vehicles that are going to go 375,000 miles without having a major engine or transmission repair. So these things are pretty doggone reliable. They really are.
You mentioned the moving parts, and it made me think of a previous conversation we've had to where imagine if everything were electric, because, electric vehicles actually were created very early on. They just couldn't store capacity batteries very well. And so that's why gasoline engines took over. But if we were an electric vehicle society and somebody came and said, I've got this great idea, we're going to take gasoline and we're going to store it in the car, and we're going to take this engine instead of the motor that's simple, we're going to take an engine that's got hundreds of moving parts and fuel pumps and blah, 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 blah. And we're going to make a compression engine that compresses the gas and burns it.
We're going to explode this thing. We're going to have a little explosion over and over and over
thousands
as you go
times
down on your way to work.
So if people would be like, that's the worst idea you have ever
worst
heard.
Worst idea yeah. ever.
So I think of that and the moving parts, you're right. There is less that can go wrong with the Tesla. Not that stuff doesn't go wrong, but this is just a big misinformation of and also people who, whether politically or just ignorant, are throwing negative bad press out for Teslas on electric vehicles, largely because Uncle Sam came and mandated and said, you're going to have to own an electric vehicle. And here in America, Americans don't do really good with what the government tells them they have to do. In fact, it makes them want to do the opposite. So that healthy growth that we had just because electric vehicles and Tesla was growing and instant torque and all the technology, that the stuff that we love, you could have just let that go and we would have been great. But instead, you have to get involved and it's chaotic. But one last point here, Rod, there are some tips for adding to your battery's longevity and reducing the degradation. So degradation simply means that when you buy your battery, even from the factory, it typically has like 96 or 97% of its stated capacity. So even brand new, you're missing somewhere between 2.5 to 4% of the full range. So my 100 kilowatt battery in my Model X, when I got it, it was really 97 or 96.8. Like that, it just brand new, that's what it was. People misunderstand that. But then as you use it, it doesn't charge to 97 kilowatt hours anymore. Over time, it charges to 95 and then 92 and then 89. So how do you reduce that degradation? And it's pretty simple. The very best tip is to charge your car to somewhere between 50 to 70%. Really, let me restate that. Charge your car to what the app and the screen tells you to charge it to for daily usage. Because yes. they're factoring
mine
in. And I would
everything.
Even go on the low side of that. I typically charge my Model X to 60%, maybe 65%. I just leave it there. And every day I've got 65% of a tank of gas is the way I look at it. And I just leave it there. And then ABC is always be connected. And that way, your systems that are running, your Sentry mode at home and all that stuff, it's running off of the power. You're connected to the car. And so it can run off of the power instead of running out off of the battery that then has to recharge later and is more of a charging cycle, right? So you can really save degradation and less charge cycles by just leaving it connected all the time.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, very fun topic. We could keep going on and on and about EVs and their lasting impacts. We talked a couple of pods ago about how many recalls with Teslas are done over the air and you don't have to take them into a dealership and just a lot of cool things I am tying that back to the right reliability because I mean, how many times have you, my truck's got two recalls on it right now that I haven't taken it to the dealership to get done. So a lot of times you have recalls and you don't get them done and it impacts their reliability. And that's pretty rare on a Tesla. So anyway, we're going to move on to our next post here. And for those who are listening and not watching, Tori, this is the dryer EV splitter that Jose Young has shared with us off of Amazon for $99 for the NEMA 1430. No electrician needed. This is a pretty cool post. Describe what we're looking at for our listeners who can't see this picture here.
So we'll have our editor keep this on the screen for a second for those watching the video, but there is a device on the wall. Well, let me back up here. So what is a NEMA 1430 or a NEMA 1450 adapter? That is the receptacle or the plug that your average dryer, at least here in America, your average dryer uses. It's a dryer plug. You have it in every one of your laundry rooms where the dryer goes in and plugs in. The Tesla mobile charger that you can see in this picture here, it comes with several different plugs that you can snap onto the end of the charger there. And one of them is a NEMA 1430 or NEMA 1450 plug. So you can plug with up to 30 amps and actually up to 50 amps and 240, 230 volts of charging. So it charges much faster. So people use this dryer plug, and what they'll do is they'll unplug the dryer, plug in the mobile connector, run it to the car, and then when they need to dry clothes, they unplug the mobile connector and then replug in their dryer. What a pain. So what you're seeing on the screen, for those who are listening, is there's a device. It's a very well-built device, and it's plugged into the dryer receptacle, the NEMA 1430, in this case, receptacle. And then that goes into this little panel that's screwed to the wall, and it has two receptacles with the switch in the middle. So you can switch it from dryer. You plug the dryer in the left side, for instance. You can switch to the right, and now you've got power to your mobile charger if it's plugged into the right side. And it states on there that it does up to 25 amps max, which will still charge you at probably 30 plus miles per hour of range. So it's going to charge much faster. So I love this, because I've always wondered how people with this receptacle who were sharing it with their dryer are reaching behind and plugging and unplugging. Like, I just, what a hassle that would be. This allows you just to flip that or to turn that switch so that you're charging over to your car. Couple of notes here on this, if you do get it. It's Sekelo, S-E-K-E-L-O. And this customer or this member, Hosea, purchased it off Amazon for $99.99. And he's got a hole drilled in his wall that he's ran his power connector through. So you go, man, I would never be close enough to this. Well, maybe your plug is in your garage, or maybe it's on the other side of the garage and this will work. If not, you can get purpose-made extension cords. You can get NEMA 1430 extension cords. You can also get EV adapters that plug into the end of the Tesla plug and then plug into your car. But if you get an extension cord, be sure that you get one that's rated for what you're doing, for charging vehicles, because it is a consistent draw that's, 25 amps, consistently. So you do want to be mindful of that. And then also, don't ever replace the breaker in your panel. If it's a 30 amp with like a 50 amp and try to draw more than that, you'll burn down your house. You'll allow your panel, if you put a 50 amp breaker in, you'll tell the panel it's okay to send 50 amps through the circuit, but the breaker is limiting how much voltage can go through the wire because it's a smaller gauge wire. So the breaker always denotes how thick the wire is going through the wall. Well, I say always, that's the design of how it is. And so if you put a 50 amp where 30 amp is, the wires can grow red and start a fire. So looking at a couple of comments here, there is one interesting that I did want to mention. And somebody asked, is this a level 2 charger? David Tucker, is this now a level 2 2-volt charger? I don't know what they meant by 2-volt. It's a level 2 230 or 240 volt charger. Yes, that is the answer.
Yeah, I was just looking through some of the comments here. There's 59 comments, and this is kind of interesting. Michael says, not a good idea. Long-term, that outlet isn't rated for prolonged amp draw.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, and then Timothy replies and says, define prolonged draw, because running two loads in a dryer is often 3 hours, and my car can charge in not much more time than that. So, that's kind of an interesting perspective.
You can pull 25 amps through that NEMA 1430 plug. It's designed for up to 30. You can pull 25 amps through it as much as you want.
And everybody says set at a 24 amp draw. And then
And by the way, cars, as they charge, as batteries fill up, they charge less amperage. You see this at a supercharger where you plug it in and it might shoot up to 200 plus amps that it's charging with. And then as the battery fills up, it slows the charge rate down because it takes longer for the ions to find a place to store, like the parking lot analogy we've given a lot. So it won't be 24 amps consistently. It'll start at 24, and then the closer it gets to your charge stopping rate, it'll slow down.
Yeah. Anyway, looks like a pretty cool product because, of not needing an electrician. And for those who can't see the picture, there's not an ugly hole in the wall. Apparently Jose found a nice receptacle fitting that grommet. The wire is going through.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look bad at all. So, all right, we'll move on to our next post here. My 2023 Model Y Performance has an issue with air leakage in the front passenger tire. A few months ago, I had the tire replaced at Discount Tire. After contacting them about the problem, they discovered that the rim has a crack on the inside. I spoke with Tesla, and they informed me that this issue is not covered under warranty, which raises my concerns about the quality of the products being used. The cost for a new rim is $1,080. I have purchased the rim, but I'm still waiting for it to arrive. Does anyone have this problem?
Yeah, I've got a long comment here from Lorenzo, but it's really good. It says, when you hit potholes, this stuff happens. And that's what's happened here. Just on a side note, this doesn't happen very frequently with trucks and SUVs because the sidewall of the tire is much taller. So the difference between the top of the tire down to the wheel, you've got a lot more cushion. Well, in performance cars and in sedans and in Teslas especially, this is a performance model, so it's got a low profile tire, which means a small sidewall. And that means that there's less cushion when you hit a pothole really hard, especially a sharp edge pothole. You've got less cushion between the top of the tire and the wheel, and it just pinches down and it bends the tire. And when you look at the picture, you can completely see that there's a bend at this crack mark. It's clearly bent. So he has hit a pothole here. But anyway, Lorenzo continues and says, you should get a set of forged wheels or aftermarket wheels. I'd cancel the order if you can. Heck, order a set of T-Sport lines. You'll be better off. Then have them switch all the tires over. I paid under $1,000 for all four of mine for my Model Y Performance when they had a sale on them. My OEM stock 21s sit in my garage. I should post them for sale. Going down another one, Omer says it has nothing to do with the quality. Even expensive Mercedes and BMW cars can have cracked or bent wheels if you hit potholes at the right speed. It's normal wear and tear and will never be covered under warranty. And then Christian Gordon says, really, really good comment here. It's a super heavy car with cast aluminum wheels. This is a common problem on all kinds of cars. The last Cadillac I had, I cracked a rim. It happens. This would count as an accident or misuse damage, not a quality control or a vehicle build issue, therefore not covered under warranty.
Tori, this thread is bringing back flashbacks to my service manager days. And I want to explain to everyone, a warranty is covered from a manufacturer's defect. So it typically is pretty black and white of a manufacturer's defect, because you can prove if it's negligence on the owner's behalf, it's not covered. If there's no signs of negligence from the owner, then it would likely be considered a manufactured. Here's the most interesting thread. This is Nick Benson says, no manufacturer will cover it under warranty. And then Owen said, I had two replaced by Holden under warranty on my HSV Maloo. I don't know what that is, but he's from Australia. So anyway, they should bend before they crack. This is a defect. And then Nick says, maybe in Australia, in America, I assure you it's not a manufacturer issue. It's caused from hitting something, most likely a pothole. Owen then replies, if there's no evidence of impact, it's a manufacturing fault. In Aussie, it would be covered under the consumer guarantee legislation. So,
but this does have evidence.
So then Sean says, wouldn't a crack in the wheel be evidence of impact? So we're just going back and forth. No, a wheel does not just crack. There would be evidence of impact to concrete or asphalt at the point of it. Anyway, just interesting.
But he just literally contradict himself, in my opinion. I understand what he's saying, but a wheel does not just crack. He's saying that like it should be under warranty. A wheel doesn't just crack, but everybody else is saying that like,
well,
hey,
he's
a wheel
saying
doesn't
it
just
does
crack,
not
somebody
just
hit it.
Crack. He's saying it does not just crack.
Unless
it's a manufacturer's defect, there would be some evidence. That's interesting, though. Is this an aluminum wheel, Tori?
It is.
So here's an interesting thing about aluminum versus steel. Aluminum tends to crack under impact, where steel tends to bend under impact. So I don't know if Owen's, I don't know if his black and white analysis of a wheel does not just crack. Aluminum does crack under high impact. This happens very common in the motorcycle world with swing arms that are aluminum, and they crack due to that exact thing of impact. I'm not saying Owen's not right, and Australia, obviously, with having consumer guarantee legislation, is different. But anyway, just an interesting dialogue here. And, sometimes manufacturers or dealerships will have what they call a goodwill. So if there's a gray area like this, sometimes the manufacturer will just cover it under goodwill, even though it's not definitive. It's kind of a gray area, but you're a good customer and we want to take care of you.
Yeah.
Sometimes they take a hard stance and say, sorry, man, this had to be from impact and we're not covering it. But
yeah,
a pretty, pretty healthy debate there.
In this case, you can see what appears to be a little bit of a bend at the crack. So there's obviously a sign of impact. But
okay. Well, if that's the case, then if there's a bend at impact, then that crack happened from impact. So
there is another couple of good comments here. Just two more to cover. Carrie says, buy one used or buy a used set. We already read somebody else's comment where they said, my original ones were sitting in the garage. I should sell them. You can find a used set of Tesla wheels on Facebook Marketplace or eBay for pretty inexpensive. And then Shane Mullen says, that's an easy weld. And I do want to point out that there are wheel repair shops that will, if it's bent, they can straighten it. And if it's cracked, they can weld it. And then they will sand it down and they'll make it look like new again. But if it's on the inside of the tire, it's even easier, or the inside of the wheel, because it's hidden.
We've got a regular wheel repair guy that we use, and guess what brand is pretty much his best customer?
Tesla.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really good advice there, Tori. There's a lot more affordable ways than going and getting high gross for a brand new $1,000 rim. So especially, why do you want a mismatch brand new rim with three other used rims? If you buy one used, you're just matching your set out. So pretty smart. So let's go ahead and wrap this thing up, Tori, and let's finish this off with a fun post. Not really a tip, but a fun little project with my son that Mick Doyle did. And this is sometimes people's creativity is remarkable. Take us through and tell our listeners and viewers what this post is.
Yeah, we wanted to include this just because of the creativity. It's I thought it was humorous. It's got 51 comments and 417 engagements, likes and hearts. And what they've done is they've taken like a cardboard cylinder of what wrapping paper is on, only bigger. It's a bigger version of that. And they topped it with a piece of cardboard cut to match the size. And then they put a milk top, like the milk cap for a milk jug, on the top, glued that down. And then they've painted this black and copper and silver on the top and bottom, and painted Duracell on it. So it looks like a large AA Duracell battery. And then they've created this little container that looks like, if you take the battery cover off of your remote, it looks like, you've got the two springs and it sits down in there where the batteries are made. And they've made that out of cardboard and a little bit of metal. And it's pretty simple the way that they made this, but they set it to the size to fit into the frunk of their Model 3. And now when you open the frunk of their Model 3, it looks like it has Duracell AA batteries in it. So it's like, I could just imagine having fun with people and going, oh, hey, let me check my battery level real fast, popping the frunk and then opening it. And there's two Duracell looking batteries in there. It's just, it's cute. It's fun. And we really appreciated this post. It's very creative.
And just scrolling through these pictures, while it may sound primitive in the way that it's done when you hear cardboard, there's a picture of the stencil here with the exact Duracell logo that they meticulously drew out with the Duracell font. And the finished product, I mean, it is the exact Duracell font colors. I mean, they probably went and found the exact like color, but the finished product is extremely polished. And then there is a picture of it at a car show with people walking around and the frunk open. And I can just imagine at this car show, the heads that are turned and they did a really, really good job. So, kudos to the dad, Mick Doyle, for this project that he did with his son. Very cool.
Yep. Nice job.
Yep. Nice job. All right, Tori, well, that about wraps it up. Any parting thoughts here for our listeners?
Hey, come and check out these posts on our Facebook group and join if you haven't. Comment, like them, and go to YouTube. And please subscribe to our channel. It'll keep the best tips and tricks coming your way. And you know, YouTube does a good job of feeding you what you're interested in by your likes and subscribes. So like and subscribe to the video if you're watching this. And we look forward to bringing you fresh content in the very near future.
All right. For Tori Hornsby, this is Rod Stuckey, and we'll see you on the next episode.